Clarice Starling making her debut on the small screen. There's still hope for Hannibal season 4. And Andy Muschietti and Netflix making a deal together? Let's say it's so. All that, and we're going to be talking about Tigers Are Not Afraid, possibly the best movie of 2019. Right after the break, this is Sauce Up It's Scary. Girls, welcome to a new episode of Sauce Up the Scary. Jeff Wright, Derek Zoo, in the same room together.
Derek Zoo, baby, it's good to see you, man.
It's good to see you, too. I just want to touch your beard. It's amazing to be in the same presence.
That is a Patreon perk, sir, and you have not signed up.
That's true. I have not. So, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. It's good to hang out with you, man.
Yeah, man. It's good to be here.
I'm glad you're surviving the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure if Dolly's search dogs are hot on your trail or not, but anyway, while you're out running around like Andy from Shawshank, I'm just hoping you're living it up.
Yeah, well, the good news is that I blew my car up, and so they all think I'm dead.
Yeah. Yeah. Just find your way to your beach, then.
Yeah, that's the plan. I crawled through two seasons of poop and muck, and now I'm out.
It's probably horse poop there, right?
Oh, yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah.
More ways than one, matter of fact.
So, you're living life on the road, man.
I'm on the road.
How you holding up?
Everything's good.
Yeah?
Living out of my car.
All right, so we have a nationwide, even international audience. What's the next place somebody can come see you do stand-up?
So, if you're listening to this on the day that we've dropped it, I will be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at an undisclosed location that even I don't know about. But I'll be in Murfreesboro, Tennessee on Thursday, January the 23rd. And that show starts at 9 o'clock at the Burrow Bar and Grill.
All right, man. Burrow Bar and Grill.
Yeah. And then if you're in Illinois, I'll be in Illinois 2 days after, or excuse me, for 2 days after that date. I'll be in Carterville, Illinois on the 24th and Effingham, Illinois on the 25th. And then I'm in Knox Vegas, Jeff, on the 26th.
Go Big Orange.
That's right. So lots of different opportunities to catch me. And you can see all those dates at DerekZoo.com.
Yeah,
actually,
baby.
Don't go there right now because it's not updated, but it'll be updated by the time you hear this.
Well, man, that's awesome. So you're surviving on the road. You're free from Dolly for a while.
Yeah.
We're going to talk some scary music. And you gave us a new bumper to start off the show.
Yeah, man. 2020, new year, new me, new podcast.
Energy.
That's right.
It's all new here. It's just good to be back in the same room. Have you watched anything scary lately that you care about?
No.
Okay.
I have not.
Yeah. It's a rough spot still. I still think we're kind of slogging.
Yeah.
You haven't seen The Grudge yet, have you?
No, sir, I haven't. I heard nothing but horrible things about it, and so I decided I just didn't want to waste an hour and a half in the theater with it.
I went and saw it one afternoon.
Okay.
Thought it was going to be one of those patented private screenings. You know, there was one other couple in there. I'm sure they were terrified that the you know the solo dude showed up and sat behind them, but they took the choice seat. So.
Right.
It's just long.
Mm-hmm.
It's just long. Like, there's some decent stuff in it that's like grudgy, or Ju-on-y, but man, it's a I wouldn't call it a slow burn. It's just a slog.
Did you make a racial slur just then?
No,
Ju-on-y.
Ju-on-y. That's J-U-O-N-Y.
Oh, okay. Is that like the original Grudge?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. I just wanted to make sure. I was like, oh,
I love Our Sons of Abraham.
That's right.
Neighbors and partners and
daughters and.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hi, am.
I worship a Jew, actually.
That's true. So that's very true. That's a good way of putting it. I will tell you that I didn't see anything scary, but I did get to see Jojo Rabbit finally.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of my top five movies of 2019.
Okay. Okay.
Unbelievable.
Well, it's on my list. I've just got to start tracking that stuff down. You know?
I laughed. I cried. I cried more. It was really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of Nazis got what they were. What they deserve.
Yeah. The only thing that it was kind of rough is Sam Rockwell plays a Nazi general.
Yeah.
And you find him to be very sympathetic.
Oh,
and I think it's for the first time in my life where I was like, am I sympathizing with a Nazi right now?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the exact criticism he caught for three billboards outside.
Yeah. But that's the thing about Sam Rockwell, man. Like, he's so good at what he does. You just want to root for him regardless of what he's doing.
That's true.
And I don't want to give – when you see it, we can talk more about it. But that is the one thing where I was like, but it's amazing. That movie has solidified Taika Waititi on my Mount Rushmore of directors.
Well, yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, everything he touches turns out pretty strong.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Well, all right. I would say perfect, but it's really good.
Pretty close to it.
Yeah, for sure.
How history should have... It's kind of like that... What was the Tarantino Nazi movie?
Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah, it's like how history should have played out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Well, all right, man. You want to talk about some horror stuff?
Yeah, dude. Let's fire up. This week's
horror. Couple of things going on of interest. I know that you're a fan of the old Hannibal TV show. You talked me into taking a look at it, and it really is as good as you said, but it didn't live long, did it?
It did not.
So
3 seasons.
Yeah. Well, this is good news, bad news then. CBS is bringing Clarice Starling's story to probably their streaming service, I guess. Mm-hmm. I didn't read for sure, but it'd probably be their online service. Thing is, it's not going to have any connection to that Hannibal series. Yeah, so here's the setup from Miska over at Bloody Disgusting. It's going to be a crime drama series, obviously going to be based on the Thomas Harris. It's good to be back podcasting.
2020.
Thomas Harris character set after the events of Silence of the Lambs. It'll be 1993 in this, and it's going to be a deep dive into the untold personal story of Clarice Starling. And she returns to the field to pursue serial murderers and sexual predators while navigating the high-stakes political world of Washington, D.C. You know what I'm hoping they'll do, man?
What's that?
I'm hoping they'll turn Hannibal Lecter's story into some kind of commentary on modern-day politics, because that's what we need more of. We need more commentary on our current political situation. I'm starved for it. I'm dying.
Yeah, I mean, there's really nothing out there right now.
Can you think of anything?
No, no.
And it's not like the forthcoming election is not going to be its own reality TV train wreck. So, yeah. Anyway, I mean, I'm going to check this out because I like the world.
Yeah.
But I really don't need Clarice Starling navigating Washington, D.C.
No.
I need her navigating Buffalo Bob's basement. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, this is not what we want.
Yeah. I think that their intentions are good, but nobody wants to see Clarice Starling without Hannibal Lecter.
100%.
That's 100% there is to it.
Like. Yep. And so you mentioned that. You mentioned earlier there's hope for another season of Save Hannibal, rather, and you kind of check that out on the Save Hannibal hashtag. Mm-hmm. Interestingly enough, the creator of that show, what's his name, Fuller?
Yeah, Brian Fuller.
Brian Fuller said that MGM wasn't going to give them the rights to Clarice. Okay. So their world was never going to have Clarice Starling in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that Clarice will get to have Hannibal, though, right? Because like you just said, she's interesting, but she's interesting because Hannibal took an interest in her.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I mean, you would imagine that they're going to eventually pull Hannibal in there, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know why you would privilege Clarice over against Hannibal.
I know that season 4 of Hannibal, had it been picked up by NBC, which they're idiots for not doing it, would have went with the Silence of the Lambs storyline. That's the rumor and innuendo that I'd always heard about it.
Okay.
Because the first season dealt with establishing Will Graham and like their friendship and stuff. And then the second season had more to do with like Hannibal, the movie, without Clarice Starling than it did anything else. And then the final part of season 3. So I guess maybe like season 2 into season 3, or maybe the first half of season 3 was mostly Hannibal. And then the last half of season 3 was Red Dragon, one or the other.
Okay.
I forget how it all worked out. It's been a while since I've watched the show. But, you know, they were establishing like Will and Hannibal's relationship, their friendship. And then that turns at the end of season 2. Spoiler alert for anybody that hasn't seen this show. And then season 3. Yeah, so that's how it works out. Season 3, they run through the Hannibal book/movie. And then the bottom half of season 3 becomes Red Dragon.
Okay.
And they end it with the Red Dragon saga. And then it just didn't get picked up after that. And I was furious about that.
You know, the parts that I've watched on your recommendation, the kind of background of Will Graham is the thing that was most interesting to me. Because he's this neurotic, semi-genius, you know, unique profiler guy. And I like thinking through all this now with Clarice coming down the road and Hannibal maybe in the rearview mirror, maybe not. if they're going to do anything like to isolate one character and tell that person's story, it ought to be Will.
Mm-hmm.
We should have Will's career up until he runs into Hannibal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, just odd choices here. But happily, I guess Fuller doesn't think the Clarice show is going to kill the possibility they may get another Hannibal season. It sounds like Mad Mikkelsen is still in, you know, ready to go.
Yeah.
And he said it shouldn't bother that opportunity because they never had the Clarice rights, as we mentioned. So, listener, if you're into, you know, the same quest Derek is and getting some more Hannibal out there, this is where you use your social media for positive, right? Save Hannibal. See if we can get, I don't know if it's NBC's call at this point or MGM's or who's, but get somebody to pay attention.
Yeah, it's insanely frustrating. That show was so good and had an amazing cast of characters in it. Lawrence Fishburne played Jack Crawford.
Mm-hmm.
Mads Mikkelsen, of course, was Hannibal. Hugh Dancy was, I almost said Hugh Downs, the guy from 2020.
A little different show.
Yeah, smidge. Hugh Dancy played Will. Who else was in that? Gillian Anderson was in that. Lawrence Fishburne's wife, I forget her name, but she was a part of it as well. Just
did
really,
she actually play his wife? Because I know we met Jack's wife.
Yeah, that was her. Okay. Gina, I think is her name. I forget. Anyway, it's all on Amazon Prime right now.
Yeah.
So if you have an Amazon Prime subscription, I wholeheartedly suggest you watch that show. I think it's 3 seasons of 10 episodes at 1 hour each or 45 minutes each without commercials. So,
well, and if you're kind of feeling me when I was griping about still being in this lull, that's a good way to feel it.
Yeah.
You know, you could do a whole lot worse. So,
yeah, you could watch Underwater.
You know, horror fans are pretty fired up about Underwater. Have you seen it?
I have.
Is that commentary coming from that? I've read enough that I'm probably going to go see it now. Surprise, surprise, Jeff got talked into going to see a horror movie.
I'll be happy to go watch it.
Yeah.
But if you wanted me to pick between The Grudge and Underwater right now, I'd pick Underwater.
Sure. Yeah. Having seen one, I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
You know, I think I've mentioned on here before, Swamp Thing on DC streaming service is quite good. Mm-hmm. It's a shame we only got one season of that. And then friend of the podcast, Jared Moore, said that Stephen King thing on HBO, Outsiders.
Okay.
Or Outsider, whichever one it is. Yeah. The first two episodes have dropped, and he said it's really good.
Hall and Nash?
Yes.
Too sweet.
Too sweet. Exactly right.
What about Dracula? Have you heard about this Dracula show that's on Netflix?
Yeah. So do you like Cumberbatch's Sherlock?
Yeah.
Okay. So I didn't realize this. I like that show a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of backlash for that thing online. Do you know this?
Mm-hmm.
I was unaware.
Mm-hmm.
So I have read that this is kind of in the vein of Sherlock.
Okay. It's from the same people, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's all you need. I'm sold.
I mean, now the one caveat is that I heard the first, is it 3 episodes? And I heard the last episode really falls off.
Oh, really?
So I don't know what to make of that.
Okay.
I heard the first two were good. The last one falls off.
Huh.
Yeah. So anyway, we're off book here a little bit, but
it's all right.
We're just trying to help people fill in those dark February, January days.
Did you ever see the NBC Dracula series that was out? It was only one season. It starred the guy from The Tudors.
Oh, also a show I did not catch. So
what's his name?
His name
He had one of those three names.
Something British.
Yeah.
Harry Emerson Fosdick.
I think that's it. Harry Emerson Fosdick. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Oh, that's a better one, actually.
Although my name is now going to be, what'd you say?
Harry Emerson Fosdick.
Yeah, that's my new actor name.
Notable progressive religious leader in the 20s, just so you know.
By George.
Yeah,
okay.
Time somebody reclaims that.
Yeah. That's me. I'm in.
You're the man in multiple different ways.
Anyway, I thought it was good.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of a I don't want to say modernistic.
It's 2020, baby.
Right? Well, I was trying to, like, mid-sentence, I was like, that's wrong, because it's set in those times.
Oh, okay.
But it had, like, it had a weird feel to it.
Yeah. That it was it a commentary on modern politics?
It was. Yeah. Jonathan Rhys-Meyers actually had an orange tan and a comb over it. It was the craziest thing.
We need more
ever.
Of it. Bring it. Give me more.
I need bats. Lots of bats.
The biggest bats. It's going to be great.
I got the best words. I've got the best bats. Look at my tan. I can't be a vampire. Look at my tan.
How do you play golf if you're a vampire?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'll quit. Because you know what this podcast became?
Commentary on
punks. Which is what we need more of, for sure.
For sure.
All right. Hannibal, come back.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was just to put a bow on the Dracula talk. That's
oh, yes, for sure.
Up. I would suggest people watch it. I don't know where you can watch it at. I don't know if it's on Prime.
They literally have a streaming service named Peacock, I think. I bet it's on Peacock.
Could well be.
Everybody's got a streaming service.
Yeah. Good Lord, yeah, everybody does. But yeah, I would check it out if you were a Dracula fan. And I thought it was very entertaining. I wish it would have went longer.
Okay.
No, but so apparently you can buy it on Prime Video. But there's no streaming to it as of right now.
Gotcha.
But yeah. So anyway.
Well, good. Good enough.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Well, we just threw some people some lifelines, right? If Grudge lets you down, you're not seeing stuff you really like watching. Swamp Thing, Hannibal, Dracula from NBC, and what was the other one we said? Something else is good out there. So
Dracula from Netflix. Did you say that too?
Probably.
Okay.
We'll just skip back on your podcast player like 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Hey, here's more news though. This is good news.
Here we go.
Andy Muschietti.
Okay.
Gonna remake The Howling for Netflix.
Okay.
And I'm in on this. What do you think about that original Howling?
Dude, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I watched that once and then never watched it again.
That makes sense to me because here's my hot take for the episode.
Here we go.
It's really hard to make a good werewolf movie.
Yeah.
And The Howling only kind of works because it's not a shame to do really goofy practical effects. So I get it. Now, I like The Howling, but if somebody says, hey, what's your favorite werewolf movie? The Howling.
Mm-hmm.
What's your second favorite one? And I don't know.
You're not going to say Wolf with Jack Nicholson?
Oh, I actually think that's on the short list.
Yeah.
An American Werewolf in Paris is another one.
Right.
They're just really hard to pull off. But I liked Muschietti's mama so much. I don't want to like typecast him or type direct him. I don't know. What would you call that? But I don't want to stick him into a niche.
Right. You want to put him in a box?
Yeah.
Now, you said, I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
You said American Werewolf in Paris. Did you mean American Werewolf in London?
Oh, yes, for sure. Okay. Yes, definitely. Sorry.
I was going to say, the American Werewolf in Paris has Tom Everett Scott from The Wonders in it, or from That Thing You Do.
The Wah 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 Wonders?
Yeah, and it's not that good.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely meant London. My bad. Muschietti has proven that he does monster movies pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Mama's a monster movie. It's mm-hmm. a ghost, but it's a monster ghost. And obviously, It is a monster movie. So if anybody other than Flanagan, hallowed be his name, can make a good werewolf movie, I'm willing to believe it's Andy Muschietti. I do think he's subject to the Shyamalan rule that you coin. You want to fill our listeners in on what the Shyamalan rule is, if they don't know?
Absolutely. So the Shyamalan rule is when M. Night Shyamalan has a limited budget and has a studio that is really kind of controlling how things are done, his art tends to be better. When he is allowed carte blanche and free reign and a huge budget and big name actors, looking at you, Will Smith, his movies tend to be on the stankers. And I feel like that It, Chapter 1, did so well that they gave Andy a little bit more string in It, Chapter 2. And while it was still good,
mm-hmm.
it was excessive.
Yeah.
And so I could completely see what you're talking about with that. And hopefully it's the former, not the latter.
Yeah. And that, you know, again, if this is a new listener listening in a new year.
M. Night Shyamalan sucks.
So Derek very much does not like Shyamalan, as you may have picked up there.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. But I think both of us agree with the Shyamalan rule there. And it's, you know, it's applicable to Muschietti. I bought It Chapter 2.
Yeah, I have it.
I started trying to watch it with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, some stuff is great.
Mm-hmm.
Why is his name leaving me? The guy who plays Adult Richie from SNL.
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader's awesome.
Yeah.
The guy who plays, not Stanley, oh, man. I'm blanking here. The kid who's a hypochondriac.
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
He's great.
Yeah.
So.
And looks like the adult version of Eddie.
For sure.
Like, looks
for
like sure. the adult version of that kid. Jack Dylan Glazer, is that his name that mm-hmm. played that? Yeah.
So, there's strengths there. It just takes a long time. So, we've made it like a third of the way through the movie. And we're like, we're going to go to bed and we'll turn this into a three-parter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, Muschietti from Netflix going to bring us some werewolves. He's making something else, too. I can't remember what it was, but he's got some other high-profile project that's not in the horror genre.
Oh, The Flash.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he's staying around the horror genre.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Go get that superhero money, but
yeah,
come back and see us over here in Scary Town.
Yeah.
One last little bit of Horror Reporter news, and I guess it comes back to another movie that neither one of us may have seen. Have you seen The Lighthouse yet?
No.
Me either. I plan to remedy that this weekend. I'm going to a conference.
Okay.
And I've got an Airbnb, and I don't have anything to fill my time with, so I'm going to find some good local pizza, go back and check out The Lighthouse. But horror fans are up in the air that William Dafoe got passed over for an Oscar nom. I keep reading that his performance was wonderful, and far be it for me to doubt that.
Right.
You know, Dafoe's a man. I've also heard Pattinson was pretty good and may have been worthy of a supporting actor nomination.
Yeah.
That's a little bit harder for me to believe.
Can I say this, though? Neither one of them were better than Lupita Nyong'o, and she didn't get an Oscar nomination, so screw them all.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's hard to – and here's another take on current political events, but it's hard to say, like, hashtag Oscars so white when that's exactly what they are. Like, when we're not celebrating diversity or women in film or anything like that, like, it's just a bunch of old white people – old white men, you know, getting the nominations on stuff, man. It's frustrating.
Yeah, this is why I brought it up, because a lot of the same horror fans who are upset about Dafoe's, you know, lack of nomination, they're comparing it to Toni Collette getting snubbed for Hereditary. You know, I don't know. The Academy is a bunch of old rich white guys, I'm assuming. The thing is, they're probably all liberals, too, because, you know, that's just the arts community tends to move in that direction. It's hard for me to account for it. I don't understand it. I guess I'm probably more gun to my head. You know, I don't want to make an issue of this, but gun to my head, I almost feel like this is more likely probably a bias against horror, despite Del Toro's whatever movie winning. Than it is against some kind of social category.
Sure.
You know, so for instance, you know, there's one of the big outrage moments about the Oscar noms is that Greta Gerwig didn't get nominated for Little Women. I haven't seen it. Everybody in my life who has loves it. And most of the people in my life who've seen it are like big fans of the book. So like, that's fine. But, you know, she got passed over. It's outrage. You know, some of these same reasons. I mean, Lady Bird got nominated for a lot of stuff. You know, so and that's not that far back. So I don't know. I think maybe it's a little bit simplistic to like go at it in those categories. But I'm happy to be simplistic that these friggers don't like horror. And I'm tired of it. Lupita, definitely. I mean, she played two characters incredibly well and made them distinct persons.
And made them fight each other.
You believe she was breaking into her own home as someone else.
And so, while Winston Duke and the kids did a great job with their alter egos as well, there's nobody else. That's her movie.
For sure. She's the center of that universe. It's like the sun in the solar system. It's just not going to hold together if she's not there.
And I, for the life of me, can't think of a better female performance this year than Lupita Nyong'o.
I mean, you know, I think we have mentioned it. The movie we're reviewing today is either one or number two on the best movies I've seen all year. The other was The Joker. And I don't really know what the third would be. Like maybe Ford versus Ferrari. And I know that's a really mainstream pick, but I really enjoyed that movie. I just don't think it belongs, you know, in a rarefied air. I need to see The Lighthouse. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is, who is there even to compete with Lupita? I saw some jokers talking about that the blonde chick from Midsommar. And I'm like, she stood around looking pensive and had one scene where she yelled. Cool. That's great. And maybe because I don't like the movie, I'm kind of minimizing her performance. But it's not even in the same stratosphere as Lupita. So,
I agree, man. And, you know, people are going to say like Florence Pugh did a really good job in Midsommar. And I'm not going to disagree with that.
Yeah, that's her name.
Even though that movie is garbage.
And she's apparently in Little Women, too.
Yeah, she is. Okay. She is. Yeah. I think she's a fantastic actress. Like, I think she's on her way to be like a big time A-list actress. She was Paige in Fighting for My Life, that movie about the WWE superstar Paige. She was in Midsommar. She was in Little Women. She's going to be in Black Widow as Natasha's sister. So, I mean, she's on the upper echelon. But again, nobody holds a candle in 2019 to Lupita Nyong'o. Like, I mean, if you want to put, like Joaquin up there, like, I think she holds her own with those guys too.
Oh, sure. That, you know, if we like just I'm take out the overall. Gender. It was really good. I can't find a woman's performance. Now, I'm sure I haven't caught all of them, but I'd have to go back to, Toni Collette and I'd have to go back to Emily Blunt. To like find comparable performances. So.
I'm going to look up the Oscar nominations for 2020 just to see who got nominated in the Best Actress category. So we've got Charlize Theron for Bombshell.
Sure.
Renee Zellweger for Judy, which I did hear that she was phenomenal as Judy Garland. Cynthia, what's her last name?
You may want to spell it because you know I can't pronounce it.
Erivo.
Okay.
E-R-I-V-O.
That sounds good to me. I
feel horrible not.
I've just taken a poll of the audience, and we're going to take that.
Yeah, for Harriet, she played Harriet Tubman.
Yeah,
Scarlett Johansson in Marriage Story, which I have no desire in my entire life to watch that movie.
Yeah, my wife turned that thing on, and she's like, you know, Driver's really good, and what the person you just named, Scarlett Johansson is really good, but the movie just wasn't compelling.
Yeah,
and so I'm with you. I'm assuming I will die. Soon yeah. or distant without ever seeing that movie.
Yeah. And then the girl that was in Lady Bird. I don't know how to say her name either. Saoirse Ronan.
There you go.
Yeah. She also got a nomination for Little Women.
Well, you just named a bunch of movies that I feel like those stories ought to be told. Mm-hmm. Right? Harriet Tubman, mm-hmm. Little Women. I shouldn't have said Little Woman. I would get killed for that. Little Women. And then what was the previous one? Oh, Judy Garland.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Give me those movies, man. But you also just went through a whole list of people who've already been there and done that.
Yeah.
Except for the lady whose name we couldn't pronounce. Arriva or whatever.
Cynthia Erivo. Arrivo. Man, what? I feel like I should know. She was in, did you ever see, come on.
Listener, Miss Arrivo, you deserve better from us. We will be better.
We will figure out how to Bad Times at El Royale, right?
No, I
you
never
did.
See
Paul Jeff. Come on.
I know.
She was in that. She's phenomenal.
Though. Yeah. Let's get some fresh blood in there, is my point.
Yeah.
Let's get some fresh blood in there. And I guess maybe the chick from Midsommar represents that. I don't know. Still just hard to see a field that doesn't include Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah, it really is.
And as soon as we get our Academy vote, Derek, we're going to fix this crap.
Congrats to ScarJo for not only getting a Best Actress nominee, but also a Best Supporting Actress for Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, she has risen to a level of performance that I never expected for her.
Yeah.
Do you know who Jimmy Butler is?
Yeah.
So Jimmy Butler, listener, if you're not familiar, he played for the Chicago Bulls. Mm-hmm. He now plays for the Miami Heat. He's kind of made his way in a couple years, but he was a second round pick that guys, you know, when he was drafted, people thought, well, he can come in and play defense for like 15 minutes a game. He's turned into an all-star player.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like the same thing for her. Like people obviously noticed kind of what Tony Stark did, you know, the first time he saw her. Yeah. Pretty woman.
Yeah.
But she has really risen to demonstrate some artistic chops.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, good for her. All right, man. Well, that's all I got on the Horror Reporter. I want to grouse a little bit about how, you know, deeply confused about horror the Academy continues to be.
Yeah.
This has been this week's Horror Reporter.
You want to get into the feature?
Well, before we do that, I just realized that there is a
Jeff H. Trailers
that I wanted to talk to you about.
Well, wonderful. We'll just drop that in right here.
And I think it kind of scratches all of our itches. So, I want to talk to you about Morbius.
Okay. I know a little bit of something about this.
Yeah. So, for those of you that don't know, here's the synopsis on it. Biochemist Michael Morbius tries to cure himself of a rare blood disease, but he inadvertently infects himself with a form of vampirism instead. And, of course, this stars Jared Harris, J.K. Simmons, Matt Smith, somebody that I'm not going to talk to you about because I don't know if you know.
That's the part I know about.
Oh, do you really?
I know that part.
Dadgummit, man.
Can I tell you, you're like, hey, have you seen Casino Royale?
And Jared Leto's in it.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I did the other day? It's really not a bright move on my part. I was sitting in my office and it was too quiet. Yeah. And I thought, I want to put something on that I don't really care to watch.
Yeah.
And I put on Suicide Squad.
Oh, why?
Because I was just trying to figure out if I was going to be able to get interested in that Harley Quinn movie.
Yeah.
It, you know, everybody acts like it's going to be great. Maybe it will.
Yeah.
It falls under the Marriage Story thing for me. Like, this is not the movie I'm needing right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, can I get into this? And I watched the director's cut. Leto's still horrible.
Yeah.
It's just as bad as I ever thought.
Yeah.
But I... Dude, it is so...
It's the worst.
Bad.
It's the worst.
Would you die for me? Would you live for me? He's just awful.
Yeah.
So anyway,
Real quick before you get into that, have you seen Pitch Meetings on YouTube?
No.
Okay. So as soon as this is over with, I'm going to show you something that it's going to wind up being your next favorite thing in the world. Screen Rant does this thing where it's this guy, I forget his name off the top of my head, Ryan something, who does pitch meetings, and he's the network executive and he's the writer.
Nice.
And they go through and they just dog every movie that's ever been made.
Nice.
And they've got one on Suicide Squad that you'll like a lot.
Awesome.
You'll also enjoy all the Star Wars. I mean, they do, like, I've literally, My friend Shauna introduced this to me when I was in Dayton, and she introduced it to me on Friday. I have since watched 50, maybe, over the last 3 or 4 days, and I just can't stop.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I can't wait.
Yeah. And you may think that it's difficult to watch it, but it's super easy, barely an inconvenience. You'll love it.
So. Sure. Well, so watching Leto in Suicide Squad's Joker confirmed everything I hated about that.
Yeah.
I get that maybe there's more with a Harley Quinn character, whatever.
Right.
But it's kind of crystallized that news for me in that I'm going to draw a parallel. So Rian Johnson ruined The Last Jedi.
Right. Okay.
But Knives Out's supposed to be incredible.
It is.
So my conclusion is that Rian Johnson shouldn't work with pre-existing properties.
Right.
Just give him a new story to tell. So what I think is Leto brings that kind of like maniacal, try anything, nothing's too far energy to every role he's in, right? Like, I think he thinks he's Joaquin Phoenix, but he's not. But like, he wants to be, you know? And so I don't think he's fit for the Joker. But I think a character that we've not really spent a lot of time with, most audiences aren't going to know about Morbius, the living vampire or whatever. I know him from the comics. He's like a mad scientist vampire. So he's like Dracula and Dr. Frankenstein. I think Leto could be great in that because it's kind of like he gets to define the space. Do you get what I'm saying?
Not only that, but he also can go over the top.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Which, if anything that we've learned from the Sony's Marvel Cinematic Universe or whatever they're calling their thing is that they want these characters over the top.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, Venom is... I watched it again before I left Branson, and me and my friend were watching it. And I was like, dude, I love this movie, but it is terrible.
Like, well, it's Hardy cranked up to like 15.
Yeah.
It's like overclocking Tom Hardy if you're a computer person, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And Leto could be perfect for that. Yeah. And so if we get, you know, him playing Dr. Frankenstein, who's been turned into Dracula, Oh, your boy from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Johnny Depp.
Yeah, it's Johnny Depp doing, what's his name?
Jack Sparrow.
Dude, I would be all about that. Yeah. I could think that could be awesome.
Yeah.
And again, we just don't have any preconceived notions about the character for him to like screw up when he tries to subvert or transcend them.
Yeah, when he tries to turn into Black Mask instead of playing the Joker.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So, I appreciate that bit of news. I didn't mean to step on it, but...
Oh, no, you're fine. I saw him in the trailer and I was like, oh, why'd they do that? But then, of course, it's trailer, so that's why they're doing that.
And how much time does he have in the trailer?
Not much.
Okay. I'll probably go track that down.
But it's just one of those things where it's like, hey, what's up? And you go, really?
Yeah.
But you can tell that, like, this is after Spider-Man 2, like Spider-Man Far From Home.
Gotcha.
Because there's just different things you can see. And even, again, not to spoil it, but it's on IMDb. J.K. Simmons is in this as Jameson.
Cool.
So.
Cool. I'm here for that.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm cool if they tie it all together.
And also, anything with Jared Harris at this point.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Did you go back and watch Chernobyl?
No.
Dude. Yeah. After the first season of The Terror and Chernobyl. Whatever, if he wants to play Joker,
yeah,
he gets the benefit of the doubt to me. So
kudos to everyone who is able to read everything they want to read and watch everything they want to watch, because I've got like 15 books on my nightstand right now that I have to get through by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also 78 TV shows that I want to watch. Watchmen, the Golden Compass thing that they did on HBO, I've heard was really good. Chernobyl. Just all sorts of. I got to finish Fuller House. I mean, that's the number one.
Oh, problem. Yeah.
So,
well, if you need a break from Fuller House, let me just tell you, I cannot give Chernobyl higher marks.
Yeah.
And a large part of that is Jared Harris. So, anyway, in a way that I was very, you know, out on Suicide Squad, I'm totally happy to see Leto take this.
Cool.
On. Yeah.
That's great.
All right, baby. Here's the key moment. We're done with The Horror Reporter. We're done with Jeff H. Trailers. Are you ready to pull the curtain on Tigers Are Not Afraid?
Pulling a string!
Ah, it's so good to hear it not over an internet connection.
Yeah, man, let's do it. Tigers Are Not Afraid.
The best thing's about tiggers. Yeah, sorry. I won't do any more of that.
I'm the only one.
Should we go ahead and call in our old friend who hadn't seen it in a while?
Yeah, might as well. Wahlberg!
What? No!
Spoiler alert. Good to see you, man. I really thought I was over Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
And wasn't going to miss him, but I don't know. It's just good to have the band back together.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think that he would come back after the Patriots lost to the Titans. I didn't think he'd darken Tennessee's door for a while after that happened, but I'm glad that he's glad he decided to show up.
Yeah, well, that's why he's wearing a Titans hat. We had a little bit, nice. And yeah, that's why Mark's eating a little humble pie here.
That's good. Is that why Ray Lewis is undigging that dead body out of the ground?
Well, so you've just hit like so much therapy material for me. You know, you and I came up as kids when the Titans were running up against the Ravens with Ray Lewis all the time.
Yeah.
And pretty much every time Ray Lewis stuck his cleated boot in their face.
Yeah.
Yep. And so it is so cathartic. And I mean, don't get me wrong, I hated that Ravens era.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar Jackson's really fun to watch. Mm-hmm. It's just cathartic to see the Titans go in and upset the Ravens kind of substantially.
Yeah.
It's like, I just put my therapist out of business for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not the same when you don't get to see Joe Flacco get hit. But, yeah, it was real nice. I kept – so the manager of the club that I was at in Dayton, she's a Titans fan.
Good woman.
And so we had our late show. It started at 9:30 Eastern time. And, of course, the kickoff was at 8:15 Eastern time. And so I'm on stage, and she was also serving that night. And so anytime she'd come in the room, I'd be like, Erica, mid-joke. I'd be like, Erica, what's the score? She'd tell me, like, all right. And then I'd hit the punchline, like,
nice.
Just every time. So, yeah, as soon as I got off the stage, I was like, all right, if you guys need me, I'll be over here at the bar watching the game. Thanks for coming out. I just walked off stage.
Well, you were taking your comedic talents to Knoxville, Tennessee, and, you know, two of my favorite sports franchises,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, both had better than expected years.
Yeah.
And they are never good at the same time. And so this is just such a surreal moment for me. So anyway, this has been our review of Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you after the AFC Championship.
Yeah. Speaking of Tigers, congratulations to the LSU Tigers for upsetting the Clemson Tigers. Well, not upsetting the Clemson Tigers, but for defeating the Clemson Tigers. Mm-hmm. And winning last night's NCAA.
Well, and to bring it all back to Dayton, I'm sure a lot of people in Dayton are Cincinnati fans.
Oh, yeah.
And so they're about to get Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
And congratulations to Cincinnati Bengals fans.
Yeah. Congrats for getting messed out Macaulay Culkin. That's a pretty good trade right
there.
That's
for sure.
All right, so let's talk about this movie. This is your, favorite movie of last year? Second favorite movie of last year?
I mean, it's it or Joker.
Yeah.
It's by far my favorite horror movie.
Okay.
It's either my favorite movie or second favorite.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna push back on that.
Yeah.
Why do you classify this as horror?
Well, you've got... So, we're in full-blown spoiler territory.
Yeah, he's already coming on.
You've got the dead mom.
Weird that he left with Will Ferrell on the back of his motorcycle, but whatever the situation, I guess.
Stepdads makes for strange bedfellows. You've got the dead mom, who's very much a lingering figure in this.
Okay.
You've got, you know, the whole time you keep getting more dead people who are like, bring him to me. And then that last scene is a bunch of dead people giving the bad guy the comeuppance.
Yeah.
And so
I just felt like it was a weird take on Les Mis.
Well, so that's the thing about this movie. I think a hardcore horror fan is going to be like, there's a lot going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're not wrong about Les Mis. It's like the kids version set in Mexico.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, I just kept thinking, bring him. Yeah.
Or Look Down. I mean, there's a lot of those songs that work.
Yeah.
But it is a genre mashup that just worked to me artistically so perfectly. I don't mean to sound pretentious, but like this movie is big and bold and risky and unique. Mm-hmm. And again, it combines a lot of stuff that you're like, that's not going to work. It's going to end up Frankenstein's a monster.
Yeah.
This works, man. And it plays with your emotions. Like when... I think the kid's name is Moro. He's like the teddy bear of the group. No, but similar.
Mamma mia!
Similar disposition. kind of gentle characters in a hard world.
Yeah.
When Moro gets killed, and then you see his ghost, it like, you're brokenhearted, he's dead, and then there's like this creepy vibe with him back as a ghost. And so, I've been telling people, this movie is a horror movie. You know, it's got all the chops of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's just a lot, I don't want to say more, but there's just a lot going on in this thing that doesn't get explained if you say, oh, it's a horror movie.
I think mashup is the best word for that movie. Yeah. I think that I would probably lead, if I'm going to say it's a mashup, I would lead with like, it's a sci-fi fantasy horror coming of age.
Yeah.
mashup.
Yeah, I'm not the coming of age part particularly. So I've thought about this a lot because I've been wanting to talk to you about this movie for a long time. Here's what I'm just going to roll over to you.
Okay.
It's dark fantasy horror.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
Yeah, okay. Well, sure. Thank you.
Yeah.
It really is a fairy story.
Yeah.
It's just super dark and major scary.
I think that the horror element comes from the realistic things that are going on in this movie.
I'm so glad you said that because the dead mom and like her dead cohort slowly growing around her to take vengeance is like what I think most people are like, oh, it's a horror movie.
Right.
But man, the fact that these kids who like you can't help but like and root for and feel so sorry for the circumstances they're in, they're constantly being stalked by this cartel that functions basically like Michael Myers or Jason Voorhees.
Right.
And I do think there's layers upon layers with horror. I think that's a really good insight.
Do you know what it reminded me of? The cartel? The It Follows demon. The STD.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's spot on, sir. Good analysis there.
Yeah.
It just shows up when you're not expecting it.
Yeah.
If you think you've got a quiet moment where you can take a breath, there they are.
Yeah.
And they're into ruin things. So that's really well said. I thought the movie's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a weird thing to say because so much of the movie is like showing you how desperate Mexican life is under cartel reign.
Mm-hmm.
So like we're talking about bombed out buildings.
One might say how despacito it is.
Oh, there you go. Look at that, bringing the culture. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Stray dogs run around. There's trash in the street, you know. But I say it's beautiful because I feel like I'm sitting right there with them. Like, I feel like I'm sitting on the rooftop with those kids. I can smell the tarmac and feel the sun beating down on me. I was going to read to you a couple excerpts from an LA Times piece on Issa Lopez, who's the director here.
Okay.
That I think that it demonstrates that like we could be dealing with a genius level filmmaker here.
Okay.
Okay. I know that's going big, but she knew what she was doing making this and she captured it and I'm impressed. So that's why I'm going to read it. The Times piece says the filmmaker's affinity for otherworldly beauty is made evident in her masterful genre stunner, Tigers Are Not Afraid.
Hmm.
It marks her first foray into cinematic darkness because she had done this like, there were comedies. They were like girls' night out comedies for the Latina audience.
Okay.
And so now she's into horror. And this is what she says about horror. And this is why I love her, because I think she understands the same way I do or understands horror the way that people I connect with do. Maybe I should say it that way. Horror goes directly into our intimate primal emotion. So if you can squeeze your way there, you have the audience's heart and ear. Then you can go into their other fears, the ones they really don't want to go into, the real ones. You know, that's, I think that what she's picking up on there is why you and I have, it connects to what you and I have said so often about hating the term elevated horror.
Yeah.
Good horror does what she says, and we'll just call it good horror.
Yeah.
Everything else should be described as junky horror, trashy horror, you know, worthless horror. We don't need elevated horror because Ms. Lopez is here, right? It's a great way to get kind of past, I don't say past, to get more than the audience's mind.
Sure.
To get their heart pulled in.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think that we talked about this on the last episode, that maybe the year in review, where we talked about how it's nice to have people who take the genre seriously.
Absolutely.
And aren't just looking to make a quick buck.
Yep.
And I feel like that Ms. Lopez, even Del Toro, of course, like Flanagan and Muschietti and Jordan Peele, of course, those people are in it for the love of the genre.
Yeah.
And they want to make movies for horror fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, hey, let's throw boobs and a scary Japanese ghost into a movie and we're going to make $20 million off of it because it's boobs and the Japanese ghost. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think that, so I don't think that we need to say elevated anymore, but I also don't think that we need to say like trashy horror and things like that too. It's all horror, but it just depends on who we're talking about.
Hmm. That's a good point. I guess I'm quicker to be like, because I have friends like, why do you like horror? It's all garbage.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not.
Yeah.
There's just as much garbage in any other genre.
Absolutely.
You just think wrongly about it. So I'm quicker to apply the adjective.
Sure.
in a negative and get offended by a positive edge.
Yeah, but they look at those movies like I was just talking about, right? They look at boobs and Japanese ghosts.
Yeah,
they don't try to find the mamas in the world or the hushes in the world, which was completely underrated and off my radar until we decided to review it, and then and now it's probably one of my favorite horror movies ever.
Yeah, it's just a go to.
Yeah,
it's just sitting there. Yeah, yeah. So absolutely, the other thing that I'm going to say for her is that. I mean, there's been a running joke in this episode about, oh, we need more political commentary.
Yeah.
This year has taught me that very few people can give an objective commentary on our political situation anyway. Mm-hmm. Very few people are even trying to. Mm-hmm. But it's just a rare person who can kind of get their head above the dynamics of the moment. The filmmakers who are trying to are not normally among that group.
Yeah.
You know, like I would say Peele.
Yeah.
And I guess some people think Ready or Not. That's I'm just not a fan of that movie. I don't think so. Right.
Michael Moore, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No no further comment on that from me. I think at this point, Lopez is my number two.
Okay.
Like if somebody comes out and says, I'm making a social commentary thriller or horror movie, I'm going to be like, oh, yikes. This is,
yeah.
You know, this is a train wreck coming down the pike.
Yeah.
If it's Peele or Lopez, I'm like, cool, let me hear what you have to say.
Yeah. Well, can I submit to you that, like, in that same vein, Jojo Rabbit is the satire that we need right now?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm very willing to believe that.
Yeah. I just watching what Taika Waititi did in that movie, I was just like, oh, yeah, that's a way of saying what you're wanting to say without enraging half of the culture right now or half of the community.
Sure.
So... Well done.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I've got a million reasons to watch that movie.
Yeah.
I forgot to get that movie watched.
Yeah. Sorry. I saw it last week and I'm chomping at the bit to own it so I can watch it again.
Sure. Sure. Well, just to kind of tie up this part about Lopez, she said she went into horror to have the opportunity to say some stuff about the social dynamics of her country. I wanted to make a movie about the children that are left forgotten on the side of the drug war. And, I didn't realize, I mean, you hear about the drug cartel and what they're doing to people in that part of the world. You, I mean, like I saw a clip of some cartel thugs hauling a guy out of a hospital room once.
Yeah.
But this movie taught me to empathize more.
Yeah.
And made me more aware of some really dark stuff happening that I should be paying attention to. And I didn't feel like it was simplistic or ham-handed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll just run through real quick what I love about this movie. You tell me what I got wrong or what you thought was a good point or whatever, okay?
Okay.
So number one, I just love the premise that you talked about already. These children surviving in a world dominated by drug cartel monsters. And you called it that these are like slasher monsters. I thought of The Strangers because the cartel just kind of shows up randomly, rains in a whole bunch of horror on these kids' heads, and then they're going to be off to do their own thing as soon as they're done with the kids. You know, the kids are a means to an end for them.
Yeah.
So I love that. I thought this mashup genre of dark fantasy with horror is a really great way to tell a story about kids who are on the run from cartel monsters because we tend to associate fantasy stuff with kids. We think of it, you know, I'm going to say wrongly, but we think of it as childish. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
And this this movie is centered on the lives of children, but it does so in a way that doesn't treat them as childish protagonists. Like their struggles are very relatable, very much a part of the adult world.
Would you say Hispanic Stranger Things?
Yeah, only on a, like Stranger Things can't really tamp down the joy behind what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you go with like a much darker Hispanic Stranger Things, I think that's really accurate.
Yeah.
And these kids in this, the kids playing the characters in this, I'm just as enthusiastic about their future as actors as I am Stranger Things. I mentioned the cinematography, which I love. I guess other than Lopez herself, the thing that I guess really captured my heart in this movie is the character Shiny. And the kid who plays him, Juan Ramon Lopez.
Now, is that Lopez's child? Do we know?
As far as I know, there's no relationship. I've not read anything that indicates that. I, you know, we have talked about these horror movies we watch with Flanagan, Muschietti, and how they're able to get these incredible performances from kids. Mm-hmm. So you know how we have basically revived Stephen King's career?
Yeah, 100%.
And we've ushered in another golden age of horror. I think probably what we should do is let everybody know it's the platinum age of horror. So, you know, just to let you, since we're the ones who made it, we get to be the ones who name it.
Platinum like Cisco?
Yeah, sure. I'm good with that. Right. I'm good with that.
I try to bring up Cisco as much as possible.
I mean, I need that in my life.
Can you believe it was 20 years since the Thon song?
You know, I really probably don't need to think about that because it reminds me how far gone my own youth is. So never mind, Derek.
I apologize.
I don't need that in my life.
It just hit me that that's what it was. I was like, oh, yeah.
I basically am willing to date most events in Western history by the, you know, is it before Thong Song or is it after Thong Song?
I mean, that's how I live my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. I sign all my checks like 2020.
BTS or ATS?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good. I was waxing, if not eloquently, long on Shiny here.
Right.
And the actor that he's able, in some ways, kind of like Toni Collette, often with just his face, to show you this kid who's living in constant turmoil between being a kid who's just in danger and trying to survive, but also being the leader of this pack of people he has to protect.
Yeah.
You know, he's the vulnerable kid and he's Peter Pan, only he takes his job much more seriously than Peter Pan does.
Yeah.
The weirdness of his living situation, but also the weirdness of his living situation running up against the much more common experience of that age of just trying to figure out how to relate to girls. You know, in this one, girls are weird, boys are cool turns into she might die tonight because we're not taking care of her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or we're mad at her and this kid whose brain isn't formed is carrying a chrome plated pistol.
Yeah.
He might gun her down because his buddy Morrow's dead and he doesn't know what else to do to deal with that anger.
And that heifer lied to us.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm just kind of stunned by what Lopez got out of him, what Lopez wrote for him, and how Juan Lopez pulled the thing off at such a young age.
Yeah.
And I really, out of everything in this movie, it's his performance as Shiny that's just going to stick in my imagination forever.
Yeah, I agree. Sorry, I'm not yawning because I'm bored. I'm very
been tired. On the road for 600 days.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I don't have a ton more. I did want to read an excerpt from a Bloody Disgusting piece where they kind of did what we did previously. And they said, here are the people who should have been mentioned in Oscar nominations from horror.
Yeah.
And I thought the author did a great job of capturing what is so special about Shiny's performance. So credit where credit's due. This is Wesley Lara on Bloody Disgusting.
Shiny.
He says about Lopez, this is the only child performance to make the list, and it stands out as one of the best performances of 2019 in general. His presence in Tigers Are Not Afraid is one of gut-wrenching realism and melancholy, mirroring the very real situation going on with the Mexican cartels in Mexico. From there, Lopez channels the spirit of Mexico into a challenging and gripping performance of a young boy who is the leader of a group of orphans victimized by the cartels, and his work proves just how ahead of his years he truly is. The film is both charming and depressing. Lopez brings the fantasy horror vision to life with maturity, raw emotion, and one of the most devastating gut punches of the entire year. I'm not sure what's next for Lopez, but for anybody who has already checked out the film on Shudder, it may be wise to keep him on your radar for the future. He may just be a star in the making. And I co-sign every bit of that.
Yeah.
I told you this movie is one or two for me on Best Movies of the Year. I don't know who else to put Lopez up against in terms of the range of what he was asked to do and pulled off other than Phoenix in Joker.
Yeah.
And honestly, gun to my head, Shiny's gun to my head.
Shiny.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's okay. Every time.
Shiny's gun to my head, I actually think Lopez had more to try to capture than Phoenix did.
Yeah.
Phoenix never gets a moment of, I got to be happy here. I got to be a lighthearted kid. The closest we get is him kind of faking it, you know? And maybe that is more challenging. I'm just saying.
Well, but not only that, but Joaquin Phoenix has been acting since he was a child.
Yeah. 100%.
So, I mean, he's got years upon years upon decades of experience.
Great point.
And pulling those emotions out of himself. And this kid is, what, 8, 9?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Very young.
And as far as I know, is his first, like, major role mm-hmm. in a movie. And he's being asked to do an incredible task through this thing. And so, yeah, it's I can't help but agree with you. I think the only person that would be in that same category is Robert Downey Jr. with Iron Man.
Well played, sir. How excited are you for Dr. Doolittle?
Yeah, dude, I can't wait. I don't know where I'm going to be on Thursday, but I know where I'm going to be, and that's at a movie theater watching
somewhere.
Doolittle.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a trailer for it at a Mexican restaurant the other night, and I probably would have avoided it if I could have.
Yeah.
But it, you know, got my attention, so I'll probably be checking it out too. Hey, really, my last point, man. Actually, I got two. Something I like about the movie that I forgot to mention is that I like how bleak the movie is,
mm-hmm.
Which is weird for me to say because I've said on here before I like happy endings. That's a bleak world, and it's so bleak that even the magic that's part of the story works against the kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of a monkey's paw situation with the chalk.
Very much so.
And I'll be honest with you, when that implement was added into the movie, I was like, seriously, are we doing like a monkey's paw type deal with this garbage?
But it's a fairy story.
It's great.
Yeah.
It defied my expectations.
And it never works out the way they think or you think.
Yeah.
It costs them a ton. I mean, that's why, like, this is not the kind of movie I usually resonate with because it is so bleak.
Yeah.
But I think that one is faithful to the subject. Like, if you're going to tell a story about cartel persecution of street mm-hmm. kids, which is going on in the world, it's going to be hard to find much silver
sure.
to line that cloud with. But also the bleakness of this movie really makes Estella escaping at the end feel so cathartic. Mm-hmm. We're just like, thankfully, finally, somebody made it out, you know. So that was the last part of the movie I loved. We just talked about how the actor Lopez is going to be a star. If Issa Lopez keeps this up, she's going to be one of my favorite stars, too.
Yeah.
The woman who made Babadook.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember her name off the top of your head? Is it Jennifer?
Jennifer Garner.
I don't think it's Jennifer Kent, but that's what I have in my mind. I tried to watch her follow-up.
Yeah.
That I think you told me very early on. You're like, I'm not going to try to watch that because I heard about it.
Jennifer Kent.
It is Jennifer Kent.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it The Nightingale?
Yeah.
Was that the follow-up?
Yeah.
Okay.
You had told me a story about what happens to the character in that movie, and I was like, you know what? I don't want to watch that either.
Yeah.
But trying to cram in a bunch of stuff at the end of the year for end of the year episode, I watched it. It just didn't live up to the Babadook.
Yeah.
And in fact, I wish I hadn't seen it for all the reasons you noted. I feel like Issa Lopez with Tigers Are Not Afraid has set the bar even higher than Kent did with Babadook for me. And I love Babadook.
Yeah.
So if she can rise to this again, or come close to it.
Uh-huh.
If she can do for this movie, kind of like Peele, what he did with Us, following up from Get Out, she's going to be right at the, like with Flanagan and Peele for me as a director. Del Toro has fallen in love with her work.
Yeah.
And
well, I mean, obviously the comparisons are there.
100%.
Yeah.
And I guess he's probably the reason we got to see this, because if Shudder doesn't pick this up, it gets, you know, I'm just not watching a lot of Mexican-produced movies.
Right.
But, you know, not just did he fall in love with it, but when he was getting his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, he intentionally name dropped her.
Oh, wow.
Stephen King has weighed in and says how much he loves this movie.
Yeah.
Neil Gaiman has come in and said how much he loves it. And, you know, Lopez has been really humble. She says those people are like gods for me. Stephen King, Gaiman, and Del Toro. And she says, I learned to tell stories because they were there. So she's taking the right posture towards it. But I think those guys are right to be like, this movie kind of rises above any reasonable expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And Lopez is going to work with Del Toro on her next movie, which is also going to be a horror movie.
Okay.
And I couldn't be more excited. If I have to learn Spanish to watch it, I'm in. So I will turn off the damn gates of my gushing affection for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where I'm at. But, man, I love this movie so much. And I'm glad you agreed to watch it with me.
Yeah.
What did I miss talking about?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, look, guys, we've had a spotty relationship with Shudder as a podcast. Are you currently subscribing?
I did for this to watch this. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I am currently subscribing as well. That goes on again and off again, depending on how mad I get about them ghosting us. But
yeah,
if you haven't used your Shudder free trial, go use it to watch Tigers Are Not Afraid. You're going to have to read subtitles if you're not a Spanish speaker.
Yeah.
At some point, very early in the movie, I stopped even knowing I was doing it. If you've already used your Shutter free trial, fake a new email.
Yeah.
And yeah. Watch it. I feel like anybody who loves movies, not just horror movies, anybody who loves movies ought to go out of their way to see Tigers Not Afraid.
Yeah. I completely agree. So you had set this movie up to be, like you said, one of your favorite movies of the year, and it really didn't register with me.
Sure.
Like, I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, whatever, it's fine. And then I started watching it last night and I fell asleep halfway through. And so I picked it up and finished it today before I had to run all my errands and stuff. But what I saw of the first half of it made me realize why you liked it so much. And it's the only reason why I picked it back up.
Yeah.
And finished it. And I'm really glad that I did. I don't necessarily think that I would put it at the top of my list.
Yeah.
As far as like horror movies go for last year. But it's definitely going to be like number two or number three on that list now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I think that's fair. Because it's not strong horror, aggressive horror.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on the record, not everybody agrees with this, but we don't think it was a strong year for horror.
Right.
This is going to move. It's easy. Like if Get Out had come out or Quiet Place, it's two or three for me as well.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like that was a strong category. And yeah, it's just a great movie.
Yeah.
It's really a great movie.
It's just a great movie. All in all. Even if for some reason you are listening to this podcast and you don't like horror movies in general, I would just recommend this movie to anybody that likes sci-fi or fantasy or just a general good movie.
Coming of age story,
yeah.
Which I hadn't even thought about it as a coming of age story, but that's exactly what it is. I've got a bunch of friends in my life who like are into Lord of the Rings and Star Wars and stuff like that. And I wrote them and I was like, you just need to see this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm going to hold them accountable. Like, you're going to have to come back and tell me what you think. And I think they're going to be over the moon.
Yeah.
Because it belongs in all those worlds and more.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to climb off my soapbox here. Thanks for going through this one with me. Thanks for making time in your busy touring schedule down in my kitchen-ish area.
Yeah.
And
glad to be back in the home studio recording some podcasts again.
It's nice, man. I mean, you're back in the old stomping grounds.
Yeah, it feels like 2017 all over again.
Have you dropped in to see Leck?
I haven't, unfortunately.
He's not going anywhere.
No, he's over at the Bane Shop Easy right now trying to make some chicken tenders. We all know.
Well, man, thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
I think that's exhausted everything. I don't know what we're going to record next. Have we talked about that?
We haven't, but let me do this real quick.
Please
Jeff
do.
Wright, have we saw something scary?
Man, I think so. Not the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Okay.
But yeah, I think if people aren't like us kind of always watching scary movies, the dead mom and her cohort are going to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
The cartel thing adds another layer.
Yeah.
And I'm just happy to say, not the scariest thing ever, but definitely saw a scary movie.
Okay. I agree with that. Scale of 1 to 10, where are you going to put this?
Man, this is a 9 for me.
Okay.
And if you'd asked me the day after I watched it, it may have been higher.
Yeah.
There's really nothing in this movie that's a weakness to me. And if I were a native Spanish speaker, it'd probably be a 10.
Yeah.
I think this movie's pretty perfect.
That's fair.
You're going to go lower.
8.5.
How dare you? Get out.
Yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. I have to leave. 8.5.
Okay.
Yeah. It's good. It's
guys,
really good.
Can we tell you? I mean, if you're listening to this, trying to figure out if you want to watch it, don't let anything we've told you make you feel like, you know, the plot's been spoiled for you. Go watch this movie.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that's it's good to ring in the 2020 year, our first actual review of a movie, and we're over the moon positive about one.
Yeah.
So
get a win in early.
Yeah. It's good.
Fair point.
So when we have to review The Grudge later on down the year, we can look back to this one and be like, remember? We almost started with The Grudge.
This is why we liked horror movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point.
For sure. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap it up, man. I don't think there's much else to talk about. If you could, I mean, there's always house cleaning stuff that we can talk about. If you haven't, give us a subscription on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, YouTube, JDate, Plenty of Fish, wherever you guys are swiping right, swipe right on us.
FarmersOnly.com.
We are in Walling. It doesn't make sense. We would love to have your 5-star reviews. Those 5-star reviews give us better algorithms and more access to more listeners, not better listeners, but more listeners. And we would love to be able to do that. So hit 5 stars on all those podcasting platforms. That would help us out. We have a Patreon campaign that is going swimmingly, and you can subscribe to that through patreon.com/scarypodcast. And there's different tiers and things for that. And you get a bonus episode if you subscribe to, I think it's the $3 tier, right? Mm-hmm. $3 and up subscription gets you that. So if you want to help us make this podcast the best it can be, head on over to Patreon. Help some brothers out. He's at Ryan Jeff. I'm at Derek Zoo, and we are out of time. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We will be back very soon with what? We don't know yet, but we'll be sure to figure it out. And in the meantime and in between time, beware of clowns in sewers, white men with teacups, blind men with turkey basters. We'll see you guys back here real soon. Bye-bye, man.